This is Deanna Spingola. It is Tuesday, July 16th, 2013, at least in the United States, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Elaine Hollingsworth. She is the author of Take Control of Your Health and Escape the Sickness Industry. It is now in its 13th printing. It's fabulous. It's just a wonderful book. She covers so many things in this book. It's unbelievable. There are also a couple of videos that you can obtain. One is called One Answer to Cancer. The other one is Escape the Cancer Mafia. She is the director of the Hippocrates Health Center in Australia. Her website is doctorsaredangerous.com. I first became aware of Elaine back in 2005. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on to talk to you again. We haven't, we talked, I believe, in the last fall. And so it's wonderful to have you back on.
And it's 8 o'clock in the morning here.
Yes, on the 18th, or yes, no, the 17th, yeah, the 17th.
Well, I don't even know what the date, I think it's the 16th here. Well, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, here we are. I have lots of wonderful things to tell your audience.
Oh, good, and it's something that is so necessary because there is so much cancer. Every family is impacted with this terrible, terrible disease, so hopefully you can give us some remedies to help.
Can I ever? Deanna, I am 85 years old, so I've been around a long time, and I have really seen what's going on. I've been paying attention. When I was young, no one had cancer. I'm not kidding you. No one had cancer. I never even heard of anyone having cancer until I was 22 years old. I remember it very well. We were shocked. Someone we knew had cancer. Ooh, cancer, how awful. No children had cancer. And now it's commonplace. You hear about it all the time. You go into, well, I don't go in the hospitals, but if you go in the hospitals or if you see documentaries about the hospitals, you see wards full of children, little kids with no hair because they've been given these awful so-called remedies. And they're dying. It is sickening. Why is this? It's because people are being poisoned by the air that the governments are allowing to poison us, by the terrible, terrible drugs that everyone seems to be on. It just goes on and on and on, and I am furious. And that's why I wrote my book, so that people would have somewhere to turn if they want to stay away from what I call the cancer mafia. There are so many things that you can do to first avoid cancer and second, treat it, get rid of it. Now, you're not allowed to say you can treat cancer. I can't treat cancer. You can treat your own cancer by getting the things that you need, which are incredibly inexpensive. And you don't have, well, because they practically come and take you away in chains and remove your fingernails if you dare criticize the cancer industry, because that's what it is. It is an industry. Billions are being made every day practically, I guess, by people who are supposed to be curing diseases. And what they're doing is they're making them worse. Now, there are things that your audience can do that are really simple and they're cheap. One, never, ever, ever use sunblock. Sunblock is really dangerous. I explain in my book what's in sunblock and why it's so dangerous for people. And even worse than that is the fact that people slather themselves with sunblock and they don't get the sun that they need. Nature did not put that sun up there in order to make a fortune for the people who are making sunblock. No. Nature put the sun up there because we need it. We evolved with it. If we don't have sun, we die. We have to have it. I'm not talking about going out and frying yourself. I'm talking about getting a little bit of sun every day that you can. And if you can't get sun, you've got to take vitamin D. Now, I explain all of this in the book. It's too complicated to describe exactly here, but it's in the book. Now, they say, and the scientists I trust, and they're a precious few, believe me, they say that at least 50% and probably 77% of cancers can be avoided by getting proper sun exposure. Just a little every day. You don't burn, you don't get real dark, you just get a little bit of sun every day. And they don't want you to know that because they're making a fortune selling sunblock, and they're making a fortune treating cancers. Okay, so we go on. There's so much to what they're doing about nuclear. They are lying to us. Every single time you get an X-ray, you are damaging yourself. Doctors love to give you X-rays. First of all, they're protecting themselves from lawsuits by doing it. And they are amortizing their equipment. They're making money off of you by radiating you. And radiation is one of the worst causes of cancer. So please don't get X-rayed. And as far as I'm concerned, nuclear power is a crime against humanity. Not one of those criminals, and that's what I call them, criminals, can be trusted. They lie about how safe nuclear power is. It's not safe. Now, there's a lot more. Your listeners can protect themselves from cancers in many ways. And I suggest Googling. If you can't afford my book, at least go into the internet and Google a simple thing, bicarbonate of soda, baking soda, which cleans bodies and the soil of uranium. And it would save lives in emergency rooms if doctors would just wake up to it, but they don't. Now, I suggest brushing your teeth with it, wash your hair with it. Oh, and speaking of washing your hair, watch out for shampoos. They're almost all poisonous.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy, are they ever. Just have a read of what's in them. It's horrible. And of course, it doesn't just go in your hair. It goes in your scalp and into your body. So you've got to watch out for all that stuff. And cosmetics. Most cosmetics are terribly, terribly dangerous. Bad news, ladies. That lipstick you put on to look pretty is going to damage you. And I think I don't think there's ever been a decent lipstick.
Right. I don't wear much. Well, I actually don't wear any. Once in a while I do. I mean, I don't have any eyebrows hardly because I'm light, you know, light skin, light hair. So,
right.
But
it's not going to kill you. It's the cumulative thing. It's doing all of this stuff and doing it a lot.
Now, how would you wash your hair using baking soda?
Well, you can just put it in water.
Oh, okay. You don't need to make a shampoo. You just use it straight out of the container.
No. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice, really.
Okay.
You can also use bicarb of soda to clean your soil. Gets out the uranium. And you can brush your teeth with it. Soak in it. You put a little in your bath water.
Uh-huh.
And put a pinch of it in your drinking water. Now, there's a huge amount of information on the internet about this. Your listeners can Google Dr. Mark Circus, S-I-R-C-U-S, the expert on magnesium and cancer prevention. Good man. I really respect this man. You don't hear me very often, but I do respect him.
Now, I've had him on my program a couple of times. Yes, he's a terrific guy.
He's great. He really is great. And he is someone who is... See, most people are out to make a buck, right? Well, I understand that. After all, it's a real world out there. You have to pay for the food and the rent and everything. But to make money, no matter what you're doing to people, is absolutely immoral. Now, he does not do that, nor do any of the other people that I recommend. For example, Dr. David Brownstein. That's B-R-O-W-N-S-T-E-I-N, Brownstein. He's an American doctor.
Uh-huh.
Written a marvelous book on the thyroid, which is an essential gland. You've got to have your thyroid going well in order not to get anything. It's cancer or any other illness. And I highly recommend his book or his website. And he's the one, well, not the one, there are many, many fine doctors who are highly recommending that everyone should protect themselves from cancer with Lugol's. So what is Lugol's? Lugol's is a remedy that has been used for more than 100 years without ever hurting anybody. It's iodine. Now, I'm not saying go out and pour it all over you. No, do it very, very carefully. I have, gosh, it must be 20 pages in my book on this therapy, which explains exactly why it's so important. And it's incredibly inexpensive. The big problem with Lugol's is that the government doesn't like it because the doctors don't like it because, well, hey, let's tell it like it is. The doctors don't like it because it cures people inexpensively and they don't have to go to the doctor. So if you don't go to the doctor because you cured yourself with Lugol's, he's out of luck, right?
Right.
Or she. And they don't like that, but ignore them. Now, what they're trying to do, and they're succeeding, is they're taking this remedy that has been used for over 100 years, as I said earlier, and they're making it illegal. So it's hard to get. You have to work at it. You can get it if you push. Sometimes something that has been available at the corner drugstore since I was a tot is now very hard to get. And sometimes you actually have to go to the doctor to get a prescription. Now, if your doctor isn't cooperative, you're out of luck. However, you can get it online. Thank heaven for the internet.
Oh, isn't the internet wonderful for
yes,
that?
And yes. I don't like it. A doctor was so angry at me one day when I discussed the hideous side effects of something he wanted me to use. He said, oh, you people going to the internet. Well, they just don't like it. They get their backs up. But I don't care. Now, it's Lugol's is spelled L-U-G-O-L apostrophe S. And I don't know what it costs now. I've forgotten, but it's very inexpensive. It's another cheap remedy that stops you from getting cancer. So I push that, and it's explained very carefully in my book. There's more. There's lots more. You can't stop me.
That's okay. Just keep talking.
I get excited about these things. Okay. Progesterone. Oh, it's so important. Now, I have a huge chapter in my book on progesterone. Do not take any progesterone that's recommended by the doctor and recommended and sold in the drugstores. They are all terrible. I was about to say semi-poisonous. I don't care. Look and sue me. Doesn't matter. There's only one that I think is any good, and it's made by Dr. Raymond Peet, whom I quote a lot in my book. He's an American, and he is absolutely brilliant and completely honest and just loves the truth and works hard to try to stop the lies that Big Pharma is telling. Dr. Peet makes the progesterone out of an oil. It's not a pill. You put it on your gums, or you put it on your skin. You use it in any way you want to use it. It's all explained in the book.
Now, how are you spelling his name?
It's Raymond, the usual way. Uh-huh. P-E-A-T.
Okay, got it down right.
You find him on the internet. And we have an arrangement that if people want to get it from him, they just mention my name.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think he takes $2 off the price. It's very cheap. Usually progesterone costs, I've forgotten how much, $50-something dollars a month. His progesterone is, I think, about $30, and it lasts for 6 months.
Now, what is this used for? It is used to prevent cancer. It is a hormone. Tell us a little bit about it.
And it gives you radiation protection as well. Very carefully explained in the book.
Okay.
I could go on for an hour talking about it. But it absolutely works. And if your listeners are taking any hormones, taking estrogen or anything, God forbid, they have to have progesterone in order to keep the estrogen from giving them cancer. That's it's called unopposed estrogen. You're taking estrogen without progesterone, chances are you're going to get cancer. So this is a very, very important thing to take. And you don't exactly take it. You just put it on your skin or on your gums.
Okay.
just wonderful. Okay, so then there's a lot more. Selenium, terribly, terribly important. In parts of the world where selenium is low in the ground, it comes in the ground, and then your vegetables, your fruit, or whatever, have it in it. So where it's low, people have a very high cancer rate. Very high. Now, no doctors won't admit this. The good ones will, but most of them won't. So you have to take a selenium, a pill or whatever, in order to keep yourself from getting cancer. It absolutely works. There are areas in China that are just loaded with cancer victims. They have low selenium there. There are areas in China that have high selenium in the soil. They have very little cancer. It's a no-brainer, but will the doctors listen? No. Why won't they listen? Because, A, they're not taught in the medical schools about prevention. They're taught about how to prescribe drugs for big pharma, to make millions, billions, billions for big pharma. You gather I'm not crazy about big pharma.
Yes, I'm not either.
Of course you're not. Of course. They have their place. You have an accident. You carted off to the hospital. You have to have some drugs. Now, they're good for that kind of thing, to keep you alive. But after you get finished in the hospital, get yourself patched up by the doctors, you got to go off that stuff. You have to go back to nature. That's the answer to everything, is nature. Okay,
right.
Or there's lots more. Magnesium chloride. Again, Dr. Circus. He explains it all, and he is so right. It's very important. Again, it's cheap. It's wonderfully cheap. Food enzymes. You need to take food enzymes when you eat. Now, that's not cheap, but you can get them in the good stores. Be careful of the additives. Ask hard questions about the junk that they are inclined to put in things. You have to watch out for that. It's quite scary. But food enzymes are super important because so many people don't eat raw food. And if you eat your food cooked, it's not going to have the enzymes in it. And enzymes are life-affirming. Once you lose your enzymes, you die. It's as simple as that. It's pretty scary.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Okay. Now, this is really important. It isn't generally known. But if you do the research and you check carefully with, for example, Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, you will find that by the time it's possible to detect cancer, it's already spread. So if a doctor says to you, oh, this is wonderful, you're lucky, we caught it early, he is talking absolute nonsense, and chances are he knows it, or she. It's absolute bunk. Early was a long, long time ago, because the cancer started many, many, many years before anyone could detect it. And if you've read my book, or if anybody's read what's in the book, you know what cancer likes to be fed. Cancer doesn't like to be fed good things. Cancer likes junk food. McDonald's. Ooh, don't get me going on McDonald's.
I haven't gone to McDonald's for decades.
Right. So if you don't eat all those terrible things, if you get on a really good diet, the cancer can't thrive. It'll go away. It'll go away by itself. It's called apoptosis. Now, I explain that in the book, too. Apoptosis means killing cancer cells, basically. That's a simple way of saying it. And that absolutely happens. I have seen people with what doctors said was terminal inoperative cancer who have come to the health center, who went off all the junk. Oh, it's hard to do, but you can do it if you want to badly enough. And slowly but surely, back they went to normal. Cancer's gone. And the doctors would never admit it was because of diet. No, it's really annoying. You just want to grab them by the shoulders and shake the heck out of them.
Indeed.
You too.
And they really don't even want to talk about it. They just have a script that they just have to say that is created by the insurance companies, the American Medical Association, and the hospitals.
Oh, God. You're right on, Deanna. One of us. I can see that. So my suggestion is for your listeners, start right this minute, not tomorrow, right now, and starve those cancer cells. Anything lurking in your body, and no matter how many there are or how long they've been there, they're going to go around. But don't mess around. Do it. Get out there and do it. It's pretty simple, but it's not easy, because everywhere you look, there's temptation. All these yummy things that we've been brought up on. I was brought up on, and I adore it. I still think about it occasionally. Toast with lots of butter. Of course, butter's not bad. But butter and peanut butter and grape jelly. I adored it. I think about these things. I think about chocolate mousse. But then I think, now wait a minute. If I give in to these things, I'm going to end up with a horrible, horrible disease, and I'm going to have a miserable death.
Right.
Yeah. It's really bad. But the thing is that the cancer mafia wants your money. They don't want you healthy. They want your body. They want your life. So my suggestion is, don't let them have it. They'll take your life if you give them the opportunity. So willpower, it's not that tough. Once you get rid of all the junk that's in your house and you start on a good diet, you'll feel so much better. It becomes easy after the first week or so of giving up all the things that you think your life has, you have to have in order to be happy. I think I should get off my soapbox.
Now. Oh no, that soapboxes are good.
And let you have me ask me some. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Something really, really, really close to my heart, and that is ophthalmologists are so dangerous that they really all, in my opinion, belong in jail. I have never come across one who had any idea what he was doing. Here's the thing. They pass out drugs to people.
Really?
That they put in their eyes. They drop it in the eye. Now, you drop a liquid into your eye, it's going to go in your body. It's going to go in right away. I have seen people use those drops, collapse on the floor from the drops. Now, not everybody. I would say about 50%, maybe more, of the people are allergic to those drops. One of the drops is so dangerous, it's dangerous in my opinion. Here's what it does. If you use it for maybe, let's say, a few days, if you have blue eyes, they will turn black.
Oh my
and
goodness.
They never, never go back to your natural color again.
Now, what purpose would people put drops in their eyes if they're... Okay.
They do it for glaucoma. They do it for macular degeneration. They do it for a lot of things. Now, what are some of the things that these... Now, almost nobody knows about this. I only know about it because I learned the hard way. A doctor wanted me to use that drop that causes the eyes to go black. And he gave me a prescription for it. And I came home. I did not fill the prescription because I've had too much experience with these people. I looked it up on the internet and discovered that it turns the irises black. And I thought, that's good enough for me. Hey, if it does that, what else does it do?
Now, does it happen immediately after?
Within a few days. I went on the internet and discovered from people who had used it that some of them said that their family members died. It's in the book. It's in the 13th edition of the book.
Okay. Here
are some of the things it causes. Retinal detachment, which means you go blind if you're not operated on immediately. Spontaneous tendon rupture. Peripheral neuropathy. Now, do you know about peripheral neuropathy?
No.
Doctors cause it. Practically everybody who's older, who's been on drugs, ends up with peripheral neuropathy. That means you don't have any feeling in your legs, in your feet. You have pins and needles, and you can't walk. This is caused by doctors giving drugs that cause it. I get so excited about these things. I really get angry. The drugs that the ophthalmologists give cause acute kidney failure. You can die from those drugs. Muscle, bone, and joint problems. It's shocking. Destruction of the connective tissue. Blood clots. How about a blood clot? You go to an ophthalmologist. You're feeling okay. And he said, you better take these drops, you'll avoid glaucoma. You go home, you put it in your eye, boom, you're on the floor with a blood clot or a seizure, even blindness. It's absolutely shocking. The pharmaceuticals are making a fortune and the ophthalmologists will not listen. When I told that doctor, the ophthalmologist, about the black eyes, he abused me. I think I told you earlier. He really abused me. And he said he couldn't stand these people who go to the internet to find out about drugs. Well, of course they can't. They lose you. I would never dream of going back to him. And I'm warning about him to boot.
Right. Now, if an ophthalmologist does this, I mean, it seems that that if these things happen, that they should have some sort of consequences.
Well, I don't know about what's going on legally in America, but I can tell you here, there's no hope to sue a doctor. Here's the reason, and I'm sure it's a problem there too. If you do sue a doctor, first of all, you can't prove it, that's what caused it. Oh, that's a coincidence. You put the drops in your eyes, you fell down with a stroke. No, it's a coincidence. No other doctor will testify for you. Absolutely not. Now, if they do, they lose their insurance. That's what happens. The insurance companies are so powerful. The doctors need the insurance companies desperately. And if they stop your insurance, you are in trouble. You can't practice. So you're not, and if you do then go against them and you testify for someone, you'll lose, it won't do them any good. It's all over. So there are no consequences to these people. It's absolutely shocking. Okay, now there's more, I'm afraid. Lots more.
Well, that is really amazing.
Is it shocking?
I have reading glasses, but I've never had an ophthalmologist say that I needed to have any drops or anything like that. And I've really got pretty good eyes, I think. Just very lucky.
Well, hang on to them, because there's nothing more important than your eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, now here's the thing about this that really, really gets to me. We have a horrible problem in this country because our government will not listen to reason on most things. There is a cure for glaucoma. It's a simple cure, which is being used in America, and that's cannabis. It absolutely works. I've seen it enough times that I'm positive it works. But in this country, Australia, as I guess your readers know, it's illegal. So they it's completely hysterical when you think about it. They have now, because of pressure, the government has finally said, okay, you can use cannabis if you have glaucoma, but there's no place to buy it because they make it illegal to grow it and sell it. Just breathtakingly stupid when you think about the government says, okay, you want to use cannabis for your glaucoma? Go ahead and use it. And then they put the people who are growing it in jail. So you tell me. Now, that's not happening in America. It's much better there, but it's only in some states.
Right, right. I think Colorado has some lenient laws, but...
I think there are 30 states now in America. They'll all have to come around eventually because people are so angry about having this wonderful remedy denied them that they make a fuss. But making a fuss in Australia doesn't do much good. Our politicians are really, they're stupid, most of them. B, they're corrupt. I mean, really corrupt. I'm not going to say that you're...
They're all they're like that here, too.
Yes.
Stupid and corrupt.
Since I was in, I guess your listeners have caught on to my accent that I'm not an Aussie. I mean, I'm an Australian citizen. I've been here for 35 years, but I was born in I was born in Missouri, in St. Louis, but I lived most of my American life in Los Angeles. So I guess I'm a Yank / Aussie. But I don't really believe in governments. I believe I want to be a citizen of the world, not of a country. Because being a citizen of a country means you approve of what the government's doing, and I don't.
Right. And I don't think there's really any place that one can live nowadays where you would approve of the government that is supposed to be having your best interest in mind. I mean, if I were to go somewhere, or if I were to leave the United States, I think, okay, where would I go that I could feel free? And I don't think that there is any place.
There isn't. It's terrible. When we decided we wanted to move out of America, we looked at I had lived for years in 5 years in Europe and lots of other countries, and I looked at the map and I thought, come on, there really isn't anything. We wanted an English-speaking country.
Sure.
It is so hard. I lived in a lot of countries where I didn't speak the language, and it was a struggle. I lived in France a long time and studied French. It is a bear of a language.
It is.
Yeah, and beautiful. I love it. And I got so that I could sort of creep around with my French, but nobody liked me because the French hate you if you're not born in France.
Right, and they do have some reasons to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they were, I shouldn't say they hate. They were nice to me, but I was a foreigner. And I never felt that coming to Australia. I always felt it was like almost like being at home.
Sure.
Yeah. So what else can we talk about now that I've been yelling and screaming about all the things I understand?
Okay, let's talk Black Sav. In one of your videos, I think it was One Answer to Cancer that I watched. Well, I watched both of them. But you talk about black salve, and people
absolutely. I'm
are
glad
wondering, what is that?
Curious. Here is something that you can use, which I think is illegal in America. You can use to get rid of skin cancers without going to a dermatologist. You know what happens to you when you go to a dermatologist? You might just as well make out your will and say goodbye to everybody, because they're going to cause you terrible, terrible damage. Here's what happens. You go in with a little skin cancer, something tiny, not important looking, and the doctor says, uh-oh, I don't like the looks of that, and immediately you get a terrible feeling in your tummy, and he said, we're going to have to do a biopsy. He cuts into it, and boom, it spreads. It goes all over the place. Then, the next thing you know, he said, you have to go back again, and every time you go, it costs a fortune, and you wait for a long time, they treat you like dirt. Then you go back and they cut it out. And then the doctor says, well, we got it all. Well, they don't get it all. Here's the thing. You can't get it all by cutting. It doesn't get it. So what does it do? They go, they cut, and it looks to him like it's for her, like it's okay. The doctor says, oh, everything's fine. And the next thing you know, it's because there's a scar over the injury where the doctor's cut. It can't go out. It's just to go down and send its tentacles all over your body, and it kills you. Now, it just doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot.
Now, is that true also if, say, you have breast cancer and a doctor goes in and okay, that causes it to spread. It just a biopsy.
Absolutely. So it's all in the book, and it's in the DVD with interviews from people who have used this stuff. So what is black salve? It has been used for thousands of years. We don't know exactly when it started, but it goes back in history so far that nobody can really figure out how long it actually has been used. You put it on. I'm not saying what to tell you. It's easy. You put it on a what you think is a cancer. You think you don't know. You can diagnose it yourself. You put it on, and if there's a reaction, then it's cancer. If there's no reaction, it isn't cancer. Then you can relax. If it is cancer, it's going to eat away. It's going to go down, and it's going to get it all. It doesn't cut. It goes down, and sometimes, in my case, it went down so far that, well, it was pretty scary, I can tell you. It made me into a believer, and I was so annoyed by where cancer, skin cancer treatments are going in this country, and I presume other countries, that I got together a large group of people to describe to the camera what their experiences were with Black Cell. And it's really fascinating. It's an hour and 45 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. And it tells you exactly what to do, how to do it. So people...
And you can use it not just for skin cancer, but the one lady in the video had breast cancer, and she put it on her breast. In fact, she put it under her arm and in other places that she was not aware that she had any cancer at all. And that salve just kind of zeroed in on it.
Brings it all. That's exactly right. Yeah. I've seen it over and over and over again. And it absolutely works. And the government hates it. If for one thing, I don't sell it. I don't sell this stuff. But I recommend it. And every week, some poor person who is selling Black Salve in Australia gets a call from the government telling them that they're going to go to jail if they don't stop.
Really?
So they stop. Yeah, well, that's scary. It's terrible. But I explain in the video
how to
make your own, to make an end run around the government. And the dermatologists hate it. You should hear the way they talk about it.
Well, they want to scare people into not using it.
That's right. To give you an idea how corrupt the dermatologists are, I sent a letter, and it was an 8-page letter, explaining carefully, scientifically, exactly how that Aldara causes cancer. This is something that the dermatologists push. This is all in the video, and so how many thousands of dermatologists in Australia received my letter, in which I explained carefully and scientifically, it wasn't my stuff, it was from prestigious scientists, exactly why they should not be using this stuff. And I got nothing but abuse. In fact, they came after me. If you tell the truth about these things, you're in danger. If I weren't so old, with this big shock of white hair, I think they'd put me in jail. But I honestly think they're afraid of me because I have an awful lot. We sold 1 million copies of the book. I have a lot of followers. And those people, I like to think they'd be outside the jail rioting. Maybe not.
Well, no, I think that you are well enough known that they're not going to do anything to you because it will be really obvious that they're in the wrong.
Yeah, they would be really embarrassed. And they don't like that. People would laugh at them, which they
sure.
also dragging this poor old lady off to the jail.
Well, it would be an admission on their part that you're right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's sometimes when I really think about it, I get depressed. But then I think, no, don't be depressed. You're making a difference. This is fun. I'm having a really good time exposing these terrible people. So I keep happy.
Well, that's good. I think a positive attitude, no matter what's going on around you, I think that you can have a positive attitude.
Yeah. And I've got the most wonderful people helping me. We're here on 9 acres. We have a big gate up at the front so that nobody can come in. We have beautiful flowering trees, and it's all really nice here. And everybody is so good to me, and they help me, and they feed me. And when I'm working, they bring food to me. And it keeps me going.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. And people visit the center, and you help them.
For years the center was open, and people came here, and people were in terrible, terrible states of ill health, really, really, really ill. And some who just wanted to feel a little better. Not everybody is really sick. And it is the most inspiring thing to watch people who had been given up by medical science start getting well. It takes a bit of time, of course, but it was very inspiring. And it went on for many, many, many years, but it was exhausting. And finally, about 2 years ago, we closed the center for people who are actually coming here to live, and devoted ourselves to spreading the word around the world. But at my age, it's just a bit much to have a lot of people around who are very ill and needy, very needy. It takes an awful lot out of you.
Sure,
and I find
sure.
It quite difficult to do the research that I have to do in order to keep my book up to date all the time.
Sure.
So that's what happened.
Now, you said that it takes quite a bit of time. Now, people are so used to, they want to think that all they have to do is go to a doctor if they have something wrong with them and get a prescription, and within a couple of weeks they will be all back to normal. Because they're so used to immediate gratification. I mean, after all, they in the television programs, they have resolution, quick solutions for everything, and people just come to expect that. But when you have something wrong with you, I think that you need to take the responsibility for your health and figure out how to take care of yourself. And sometimes that does take a little bit longer, that learning curve. And finding out just exactly what will help you takes a little bit longer, but I think that works best in the long run, because you're not taking the poisonous prescriptions that doctors would like to give you, like antibiotics.
That's exactly right. And if you're given, or if you have a prescription and you fill it, you open it up and you take out the written stuff that's in it and you read what the side effects are, if you have any sense at all, you don't use it. Because the side effects are so horrifying and so long, it goes on and on and on and on, great long pages that fold up into the prescription that almost no one reads. But if you do read it, first of all, if you, you have to start laughing. Because the final, generally speaking, the final things on the list are blindness and death. Now, to me, death is not a side effect.
Right.
A lot more serious than a side effect. And hey, what's with people who they don't read it, but they trust this woman or man in a white coat. Trust me, I'll fix you. And first of all, they all look sick. It seems to me that the doctors I've known have looked pretty sick, except the natural doctors. They're great. And I do have some wonderful friends who are natural doctors. They're on the, they're in the book recommending, well, I quote from them all the time, but they're on the back cover of my book raving about how good the book is. Doctors.
Yes, kids. Indeed.
They hate me.
Yes, you do have some people back here. Yep.
Yeah. And I have lots of doctors throughout the book whom I quote extensively. They've all given me permission to do that, who are 100% with what I say. And well, I should say I'm with what they say, because I don't have any training. I got my knowledge by standing on the shoulders of the wonderful scientists who have been saying these same things for many, many, many years. They have helped me enormously. I've called scientists all over the world, and nobody has ever not taken my calls. Can you imagine?
That is amazing. And the other thing in reading your book and watching your video and videos is that you have experienced illness, severe illness, and was able to get the appropriate help. But that was before doctors got so greedy, too, don't you think?
I think they're much worse now. Yeah, when I was a kid, first of all, I was brought up during the Depression. And as you know, things were not good then. And we didn't go to the doctor. You just didn't. But on a couple of occasions, when I had some horrible illness, like pneumonia or something, the doctor would come to the house. And I remember him well. He was such a sweet man. He came in with his little bag and sat next to the bed, held my hand, and said, "You're going to be okay." And didn't give me any drugs, because they didn't have very many drugs. But he said, "Okay, let's keep her. Don't have her eat. Give her lots and lots of water with lemon juice or whatever in it, and keep her. No drugs. They just didn't do it. They knew better." And of course, they didn't have many drugs. Then, when penicillin first came in, my uncle took it and almost died. He very nearly died from it. it made him so ill?
Oh, I had penicillin when I was a kid, and I had a severe reaction, and so I haven't had penicillin for, well, a long time.
Well, antibiotics should never be used except if you're going to die of pneumonia or some such thing, and then it helps. And if you use it, if you use these antibiotics frequently, which most people do because the doctors are so incredibly corrupt that they just write the prescriptions. If you keep using them, then when you get old and you get pneumonia, it won't help. You'll die because your body rejects the antibiotics.
Right. And I mean, they kill all of the bacteria, the good bacteria.
Everything gets killed.
Yeah, they're indiscriminate.
The same as what happens if you have chemotherapy. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, it goes in and it kills the cancer. Uh-uh. It doesn't work that way. It goes in and it kills every cell in the body. Why do you think your hair all falls out? Your skin turns to parchment. You can hardly walk. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And they love it. They only like the three things for cancer: surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, all of which cause cancer. Come on, someone's got to explain this to me. I can't figure it out. Where did it go so far wrong? Money. Money. Big pharma and the money that they make turns them into ravening beasts, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
That's what.
And these doctors really give their patients hope. Now, I've had numerous friends who've had cancer, and they go to their doctor, and the doctor will say, oh, I think we've got a chance of getting rid of this. I think this is very hopeful. I feel really good about this. When, in fact, don't they really know that what they're doing to the patient is deadly?
They do. I explain this in the book, why they do it and how it happens. That's right. They keep telling you, oh, all you have to do is one more, and then you get sicker and sicker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and then it gets to the point where they say, oh, well, we've done everything we can. I guess they figure they can't get any more money out of you. And then you're left to die. And a very unpleasant death. You know, it's, oh, gosh. I think I am getting depressed.
Right. Well, I've had two very good friends who've passed just recently, well, fairly recently, with cancer, and they both opted to do the chemotherapy. And I took my one friend to get she had to go and check her Coumadin levels because then she had to go on Coumadin. And she was so nauseated and so sick, and it was just terrible to watch her go through this.
Well, I've been through the same thing with my best friend. They kept giving it to her, and she finally, one of the last things she said to me in the hospital was, the chemotherapy is so much worse than the cancer.
Yes, and it kills you quicker. I think if you do nothing, you have a better chance of living longer than if you take treatment.
You know, my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotations is from the man who used to be the president of the American Cancer Society, who quit in disgust, and he gave a press conference, gosh, this must have been 40 years ago, stood up in front of a lot of reporters, and he said why he was quitting was because the American Cancer Society was so corrupt that they stopped all natural therapies and that they could stop, and that furthermore, if a cure for cancer were ever invented that really worked, the people in the American Cancer Society would be leaping out of the windows of the building because they'd be out of work.
Mm-hmm.
This is the head of the American Cancer Society. Now that says it all, doesn't it?
Well, in fact, there are several therapies for it that are natural. But they've concealed them, and they vilify and demonize any other therapy than those three that you mentioned.
They've made them illegal. That's what's so awful. If they just leave us alone and let us do what we want to do, but no, they won't.
And that's especially true for children. I had one gentleman on my program who talked about his son. It was just the most terrible situation. They had to leave the country in order to keep their son from the child welfare services taking him away from them.
Were they successful in getting the child out? Because generally speaking, they grab the children and they jail the parents. It's horrible.
Right. Well,
they do that too.
They were for just a short time, but the child actually died, and it was a terrible thing. They forced these parents to subject this child to chemotherapy when, in fact, the parents wanted to treat the cancer with a natural remedy, and it's just a very sad thing.
I don't know how they can sleep nights. I really don't. But there we are.
Yes.
I hate to end this on a dreary note. Now, why don't we think of something really positive that's happening?
Well, the positive things are that you can avoid it.
Yeah, that you don't have to sit back and let them kill you. You can think for yourself and educate yourself and fix things for yourself without getting murdered by the doctors. It's not necessary. Escape the sickness industry.
Right.
That's my word.
Right, and that's people have your book. They can access your book. Where can they get your book?
Well, it's with it's on the internet. Go to Amazon. It's right there.
Okay, and all they have to do is order via Amazon, and it's the 13th edition.
Uh huh.
And so you don't have to send it from Australia. It's right here.
No, thank heaven, because it's. The postage is absolutely gruesome.
I know.
The book and the DVD are on Amazon, and the CD, which is called Escape the Cancer Mafia, is on our website, doctorsaredangerous.com. And Kindle will have available in about 2 weeks the book on, Kindle. It'll
yes.
be available there. Yeah.
Fabulous.
So, all there. It's all in America now. And I'm concentrating more on America now, because I think everybody in Australia who is interested in natural health already has my book.
Well, how lucky they are to have you there, too.
Well, the doctors don't feel that way.
Well, that's an indication that what you're doing is a very good thing. So I think that's a badge of honor that the doctors aren't crazy about you.
Yeah, well, I do, too. I'm glad.
Well, I'm certainly grateful to you and applaud all of the things that you're doing. And it's just you're just an amazing person.
Oh, well, thank you very much for those kind words.
Well, thank you for...
lovely to be connecting with you again.
Well, thank you so much. I remember read an article that I wrote back in 2005. It was about soy. And you wrote to me and you said, talk to me about soy. And you sent me the chapter about soy from your book. And I thought, well, this is just amazing. And that's when I first became aware of you. So it's been some time.
Oh, right. Well, that was one of my big crusades, trying to save the children of Australia from
yes.
the soy poachers who are killed. Oh, it's so terrible. Well, I have a whole chapter on that one.
Yes, you do.
Your listeners cannot be healthy if they eat soy.
Absolutely.
In any form whatsoever. But you know that. It's
yes.
all in my book, a whole big chapter on that subject.
Yes.
It is so dangerous.
I did a
really... big thing on it here in Australia, and people now are very, very well aware of how dangerous it is. They have been now for about, I guess I started 10 years ago with that one.
Sure. Well, I thank you for reaching out to me initially, and I'm certainly glad that you did, and it made me aware of what you're doing. And thank you so very much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh.